All right, guys. Well, we have a case study this week, and this is a little bit different. We've got a video recording, and I guess we'll just let Reagan talk for herself and ask us a question, and then we'll flesh out the case.
My name is Reagan King, and I own the law office of Reagan M. King, a limited liability company. I'm a lawyer focusing on family legal issues such as divorce, child custody and visitation, child support, modification, paternity, and adoption. When people come to me, they're usually facing one of the most difficult challenges that they will ever face in their entire life. I really enjoy helping people work through those situations to get a result that works with their life and for their family. I recently just started my law practice. While I was employed at a traditional firm, saving for my retirement was easy. I just contributed to my employer-sponsored 401k plan. Now that I'm self-employed, I'm overwhelmed by all the retirement options that are available to me. What options are the best for me during this initial startup phase? Do my options and the best solutions change as I grow, my income changes, or I add employees? Is there a specific time of the year I should be making contributions? Is it better to wait until the end of the year to see what my overall income is, or should I just go ahead and put some money aside every month?
So there you have it, guys.
Well, Reagan, thank you very much for the question. There's a lot there, and that is a very important issue for any small business owner that's setting up shop for the first time. You've got decisions that are going to impact you in the near term on what type of retirement plan to set up, and as well as ones that may give you more flexibility to grow with the plan over time, or
you
may have
change,
to adjust
right,
to a
Charlie?
Different one. Right,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
So let's start off by just kind of breaking it down between – there's really two worlds of retirement plans. There's what's known as the qualified plan world and the non-qualified. The primary example of a qualified plan is a 401k. That's
right.
What most people defer to. Pension plans would fall under that. There's a number of others that fall under that as well. The non-qualified world, so non-qualified means that ERISA does not govern it. So there's less regulations. There's more flexibility. For a self-employed individual, that's typically going to mean less costs, less filings. So a typical non-qualified plan would be an IRA or a Roth IRA, you know, with just a basic retirement plan that maybe you know, you started doing right when you got out of college, or maybe even parents started for you. So what you want to look at as a new business owner are a number of different factors. So is it just you? In Reagan's case, it is just her. So
she has no employees.
So whether or not you have employees is a key factor in which plan to use. How much extra cash flow you have? Are you barely making ends meet? Is retirement saving in any material number not even feasible? That's another piece of the puzzle. The tax benefits, is that something that you're looking for immediate near-term tax benefits? That can weigh on your decision. So if a typical small business owner, when they're starting a business, you've got to expect that this, you know, you're going to have more startup costs. That first year, you're probably going to have more costs than you are in future years to offset income. So unless you just come out of the gates, you know, wheeling and dealing and just making money hand over fist, you're probably going to have a lower income first year. In that case, tax benefits are probably not that important as far as getting a tax deduction on anything that you're going to defer. So you might want to look into a Roth type scenario, whether that be in a qualified plan in a Roth 401k or an individual Roth 401k or a Roth IRA.
And Reagan's pretty, you know, she's pretty young too.
Right.
So you get more, you know, there's more of an advantage on the Roth
longer
side of things,
time horizon,
you know,
longer right.
term. So.
Right. And then how much you can defer. You know, $5,500 is the current deferral limit for a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA for 2015. So if you can't do more than that, the easiest thing to do is just stick to those plans. Now, once you have reached a point where you have enough extra money to defer beyond that, the question is, well, what plan do I go with then? And that's where it gets a little bit more complicated. Whether you have employees is a critical piece of it. And two plans that are very popular out there for small business owners would be SEP IRAs and then individual 401ks. The difference in the two can be how much you can defer potentially more to the individual 401k, and we can speak a little bit about the math behind that. But the SEP IRA is really probably the most popular one for a truly self-employed, no extra employees individual, because all the money that goes in is employer provided. So you go hire someone and you have a SEP, you have to start contributing money on their behalf without them even contributing.
Yeah, so
money.
So if it's just me and I put 10% of, you know, I've got, you know, she says she's an LLC, single member, I assume. So that's a disregarded right. entity. I've got a Schedule C and I make $100,000, let's say, put $10,000 in a mm-hmm. in a SEP.
Right.
Okay. So and then I go hire somebody. So the next year I gotta give that employee 10%.
Yeah.
You know, if they're making the same or whatever they are, it's the same percentage applied to that employee. So you get to the point, don't you, Charlie, where that's a pretty, you know, that's a pretty hefty expense for on your employee side.
Right.
And so that's when a lot of times you'll see somebody who may have started out as a SEP. It was simple. Mm-hmm. And then they may move to something else. And what would they move to?
They'd likely move to an individual 401k.
Right.
You could go to a simple IRA. We really don't see those much anymore.
And they've got lower limits. That's why. Because
yeah.
$12,500, yeah. that's the limit in 15 for yeah. a simple IRA. And so yeah. your 401k, what's the limit this year? Is what, 18?
18,000.
18,000.
And then
so.
You can do an employer, you know, if you're making a good bit of money, you can fund it up to 53,000 on your own as the employer with employer contributions.
That's right.
So.
Because you've got two components to the 401k. Your elective deferrals is how much you elect to take out of your
that's
paycheck.
That's the 18,000.
That's the 18. And then the other side is what the employer can put in. And the two of those added up
can get up to
53. So, I mean, that's a significant opportunity to save some money there.
So if she was looking to maybe add employees later, you're saying that you can change. Would it be better, I mean, if the timeline's long, you just go ahead with a SEP?
You know, in a lot of cases, I think so. And you chime in here too, Charlie. But it's a very simple, you know, you open an account. It's basically a souped-up IRA. It's an IRA with a bigger
limit.
There's
no cost.
There's no administrative cost or burden or anything mm-hmm. like that. So, you know, that's an option. Or the solo 401k is also, you
and,
know, becoming
her,
more popular.
Yeah, and her question about, you know, she had asked about when to fund them, the flexibility and the timing, and should you do it monthly. You know, whether you want to do it monthly like people do 401ks or you know, bi-monthly or bi-weekly, that's up to you. Sometimes that's safer dollar cost averaging. But the SEP does give you the flexibility in that you can establish the plan and fund it up until your tax filing deadline with extensions. So you can
yeah.
wait until
October
of next year to set up and fund a 2015 SEP. However, in the 401k world, you have to have the plan established by the end of the calendar year, but you can fund the employer piece later. But we wanted to touch on one more aspect of what she had brought up in that she used to defer to a 401k.
Right.
So what do you do when you move on from your employer, whether it's to start your own business like Reagan or go to do something else? What's the best thing to do with that old 401k? There are plenty of options. There are a few rules if it was a short stint somewhere and you had a real small
balance. Your options are dependent upon how big that balance is, Charlie?
Yeah, yeah. And it's if your balance is $5,000 or more, your former employer cannot force you to remove funds from their plan. So you could just leave it there. If they have a great investment list of mutual funds to pick from and there's low costs and you think it's a good plan, there's nothing wrong with just leaving it there. Just don't forget about it. That does happen if you leave it there for a long, long time. And but if the balance is between $1,000 and $5,000, they can force you to roll it into an IRA. And if it's less than $1,000, they can just send you a check. Now, in that instance, and now we're really talking to someone who, you know, maybe you had a you know, an entry-level job and you're young and you stayed there for 6 months and you deferred a little bit if they allowed it and then you've moved on. They can send you that money. Well, if you don't roll it over in 60 days or put it into an IRA.
So if you got that check, if I got that check, what do I need to do with it?
You
got to
put it into an IRA.
Okay.
Within 60 days or mm-hmm. else when you file your taxes the next year, you're going to have to report that as
That's
income.
Right. And it would be and if you were less than 59.5, it'd be a premature distribution.
Gosh, right,
so you're going to pay
penalty
on that. Tent.
So don't do that.
But what are the advantages of rolling it to an IRA though?
Well, you can get more flexibility in investment options.
Right.
So if you know some employer-provided 401ks don't have the best list of mutual funds, and it is just mutual funds, even if that's all they offer, even if they offer a good list. So you can get out into a Schwab IRA and have access to ETFs and individual stocks and any investment under the sun.
Bonds, anything.
Anything. You know, you also can roll it into your next employer's 401k if they allow for that. Plenty of employers and plan providers will allow for incoming 401k transfers if you just like to keep things consolidated.
Yeah, and if it's something, if it's a relatively small balance, that's probably a pretty good option.
Yeah.
You don't leave it out in no man's land.
Less paperwork. It's all in one place. Right. There is some value in that.
Right.
All right. Yeah. Well, guys, let's take a quick break right here, and we'll come back and talk some more about this and answer some client questions, listener questions. Don't touch that dial. Money Talks will be right back.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.